We're continuing this morning on our theme for the year about being on a journey with friends to freedom, and we're still concentrating on the friend bit. I want to talk about two different things this morning. First of all, I want to talk about being friends with God. Now, one of the songs that we sang, the new one we sang, made it very clear that God invites us to be his friend. But what does that mean? What does that really mean? That's what I want to start with exploring this morning. Anyway, before I do that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that you have everything that we need. And we just pray now that you will impart your wisdom and your understanding to us. Lord, it's not what I've got to say, it's what you've got to say this morning. And we want to hear that. And we want to hear it clearly. We want to let it enter in our lives and make a difference. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Turn with me, first of all, if you will, to the Gospel of John. And chapter 15. This is actually, if you really go into this is seriously important. We need to get this. John 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learnt from my Father, I have made known to you. If you really think that through, that becomes mind-boggling. Let me read just a little bit of that from the Amplified. You are my friends when you do the things I command you. I am no longer calling you servants because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends because I have let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. I have let you in on everything I have heard from the Father. And that is what God is saying to us this morning. If you want to be my friend, I'll let you in on everything that I've heard from the Father. God who made everything. And he's going to let you in on that. Is that, if we really think that through, folks, that is life-changing. Because it means that the very things that God is doing, God is planning for us as individuals, for us as a group, for the world, we're in on. It's not, oh, I wonder what he's doing today. God says, no, I'll tell you, because you're my friend. Wouldn't that be good? We hear that, and we have read this, I'm sure, dozens and dozens of times, but I wonder if we've really taken in what that means. What it means is that as we go through life, day by day, with all the ups and downs and the twos and the fros, God is saying, I'll let you in on what I'm doing. This is what's going to happen about this situation and that person and this person and this and da-di-da-di-da. I'll let you in on it. I'll tell you what's going on. I want you to be part of what's going on. I want you to be part of your master's business. That's really something. That's really something. And one of the things that we're going to do in a minute is you're going to explore what that means. Because there's no point in me just standing up here spouting. We've got to take some of these things on board because they should be able to make a difference. In the day-to-day, in the mundane, in the humdrum, they should be able to make a difference if we are in on the Father's business. If we are hearing the Father speaks, which Joyce was talking last week about hearing. You've got to be able to hear what the Father's saying. That's important. But Jesus is basically saying that he now calls us his friends, and he lets us know everything that he learned from the Father. So the relationship that Jesus had with the Father and all that brought to Jesus, he's passing on. Not bits of it, but potentially all of it. Because we are his friends. So that song about God chooses, God asks us to be his friend, that is a serious question, folks. If you really understand what being a friend of God is, that's a serious question and could revolutionize what you do. Because if we hear this, we heard that little voice. Now, this is what I'm doing about this. This is what I want you to do about this. This is how I'm going to bless this thing. This is how I'm going to make that work when you've got no clue how it's going to work. If we really live life like that, oh, flipping heck. Be different, wouldn't it? Really different. So we need to be those who choose, because it is a choice. Jesus says very clearly, you are my friends if you obey my commands. You can't get around that. That's what it says. So we need to choose. I'm sure nearly everyone here has chosen to follow Jesus and to obey what he tells us to do. If we're doing that, then we are his friends, and we need to go on to the next thing, and we need to hear what the Father is doing. There is a verse in, I think it's in Psalms, Charles will tell me if I'm wrong, which says, the Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. Is that in Psalms? Probably. Now, Sue, come here, please. What is confiding? Now, I don't confide to Sue that there's a sort of greyish sky outside. What I do when I'm confiding to Sue, I'm telling her something personal, something important, more than just something that she and I can both see. Is that right?
Yes.
Thank you, Sue. But that's what God's like. He has his arm around you like I have my arm around Sue, and he's whispering something to you from the heart about what's going on, what he's doing. He's confiding in you. To have the living God confiding in you, folks, is something good. And it's a thing we need to continue to work through this year. Being a friend of God as you walk through life, as you go on this journey that we're talking about. Well, that would be great if we really got that. Because it would change how we do things. So, there you are. We'll talk about that a bit more in our groups and things in a minute, because I would really want you to sort of tease out between you. We're going to get together in sort of threes and fours a bit later on and just talk some of these things through and really see what it means. But being a friend of God is great and potentially much greater than we've even grasped or even got any idea of. So it's very, very important. Very important that as we go on the journey, we can be friends with all sorts of people, but number one, we need to be friends with God and really twig what that means. Yeah? Certain amount of enthusiasm. Oh, well. The next thing is, if we're going on a journey with friends, we need to know who those friends are and what our friendships with people should be like. Now, I know you guys always like a deep theological approach to these things, so I thought I would give you a quote from that deep theologian, Oprah Winfrey. Everybody wants to ride with you in the limousine, but what you want is someone who will take the bus with you when the limousine breaks down. Which is quite good, isn't it, actually? So, what is it we want? What is it we need from our friendships here and, you know, in the world in order that we may go on this journey that we're talking about and that we may be a help and a blessing to each other? Now, when it comes to good advice about friends, you can do a lot worse and turn to Proverbs. So we'll turn to Proverbs. I've got some different readings from Proverbs, because there's quite a lot of stuff in here about friends and about friendship. So let's start with Proverbs 18, verse 24, which says, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Now, what does that mean? It basically means is it's quite possible to have a friendser. I'm not trying to limit things, who will actually walk arm in arm with you through life. Maybe even closer than your natural family in some cases, who will go through the ups and the downs with you, who will be there when you're crying, who will be there when you're laughing. That's a possibility. It's not something that you think, oh no, that isn't for me. We have been made to be in relationships. God created us that way because He is in a relationship. You've heard this lots of times, you'll hear it again. God, the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are in a relationship. So relationships are how it's done. And it's possible, therefore, to have really close friends who will walk with you. So probably lots of you are saying, yeah, that's fine, I know that, and that's great. But I don't want anybody to think that it's that they are somebody that it's impossible to have a close friend. It's not. It's part of how you were built. It's part of how you're made. It's in your DNA. And God will provide, has provided, friends who will walk with you arm in arm, sticks closer than a brother. So don't accept less than that. Because that's part of what God provides to help us get through life. You can't do it on your own, folks. We've all tried, and it usually goes pear-shaped. But you need a friendser, who will walk with you up and down, good and bad, good and bad. So it's a possibility. And it's more than that, I would say it's a necessity, because that's how we've been designed. So don't think that you're an unlovable, unclubbable, unfriendly person. Because everybody is made in God's image, which means you can have friends who will stick closer than a brother. And we need that, folks. So that's the first thing. I just want to say it's possible to have really close friends. Proverbs 27, let's look at the next words of wisdom that come from this book of wisdom. 27 verse 9. "Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice." In the message it says, "Just as lotions and fragrance give sensual delight, a sweet friendship refreshes the soul." Can we agree with that? Yes. Yeah. So friendships are part of how you keep going. Friendships are part of how you get refreshment and encouragement in life. God provides us with friends because we need them. We need them to encourage us and to enable us to get new strength. Heartfelt advice, that means they might tell you something that you might want to think about doing. A good friend will be part of your life, so will see things that perhaps you can do, will offer advice and guidance. And that's good too, because we can all hear from God. If you can't, you need to listen to Joyce's tape from last week. And we can all have advice for each other. But the most heartfelt advice, the type of advice that I might whisper into Sue's ear, is the advice that you hear from God for your close friends. Because it comes from, because you can hear God for them. So the heartfelt advice that it talks about it is not just your own good ideas, which is absolutely fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But you can also hear God for your friends and help them through whatever it is they need help through. So hearing God and being friends in terms of conveying what you're hearing for people is part of the godly way of having friends. Okay, with that? Now, sometimes we don't like people giving us advice. Who's in that category? Come on, let's be honest. Come on. But it's a thing we learn, all right? It's the thing we get better at. And we need to get better at it because that's how God works. That's how it works. We're put together because we need to be together. And we aren't put together just to be a whole load of dots without any relationship to each other. We're supposed to merge into a big circle. So part of God's way of providing what you need in terms of wisdom, strategy for things that you're doing, is you will hear that heartfelt advice from your friends, because that's part of how God has made us and part of how he wants it to work. Let's turn back a few verses, a few chapters to friends. Proverbs will do. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. In the message it says, friends love through all kinds of weather. So storms, sunshine, snow, all the different weather, all the different things in life, the different atmospheres in life, friends love you through those. So friends love you whatever. And none of us is perfect at this, but it is how we get through. And we all learn. As we put our hands in God's more and let him work through us, then we will be better at doing things that other people need. You can't crank it out. You can't force yourself to do it. You can only ask God to flow through you. But before you can do that, you've got to have the desire to want that. You want to be a blessing to people, come rain, come sun, come storm, come whatever, in their lives, so that we can be with them through all the ups and downs of life. So a friend loves at all times, not partially, but a friend is there all of the time, whatever you're going through. Let's go back a little bit further. Chapter 12. Gets a bit more serious here. Where have I got to? Oh, yes. 26. Proverbs 12:26. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Now, you know, I can stand here and make the story rosy and beautiful and slightly misty-eyed, but that's not how life works. So there is a sense of needing wisdom in all of this. And the righteous choose their friends carefully. We are the righteous folks. So we would be well advised to choose our friends carefully. Not to have those people with us who can offer us that heartfelt advice that we've had, that we've talked of. So it's not trying to say you can't be chummy and pally with people and go out in big groups. And I'm not trying to say any of that. But there are always those close friends, the ones with whom you really do share your lives, who actually know probably more about you, more about what's going on in your life than maybe some of your family do, you know, distant. As you know, as quite a lot of you know, my dad died about 3 weeks ago. And it's meant that in the last three or four weeks, actually more than that, I've had a lot more interaction with my two sisters who live in eastern England than I have for years. And that's fine. We're still talking to each other, and we've done all the things that we need to know. But there are quite a few people in this room who know an awful lot more about my life than my two sisters do, because they've walked through things with me that it's just not practical for my two sisters living in Cambridge in the East End of London to walk through with me. Doesn't work. So that there are people here who know a lot more of the intimate details of my life than my two sisters do. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's what this is all about. Sometimes it might be that family and friends are the same, but in quite a lot of cases, especially in the modern day when we're scattered all over the place, it might not be. So it's just... It's a good thing. I can tell you personally, in the last three, four, five weeks when Dad was ill and then Dad would died, and the fact that you know that there are people who are walking through it with you and who do understand the fact that you're really, to be honest, pissed off with a certain amount of the things going on, that really helps. It really helps. So that's what we're talking about. Not just chums. We're talking about friends who walk through life with you. And it's what we're made to be. It's what we're made to do. It's how life is supposed to be. It's how we get the support that God wants us to have so that we can be the people of God wherever we are. And we're going to get in our groups in a minute and just kind of think about what this might mean. One last thing, though, and God really told me I had to read this out. Proverbs 16:28. A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. A gossip separates close friends. Folks, gossip is out. It's not an option. It's not even partial. It's out. So just hear that from God this morning. Gossip may be what goes on out there, but it's not to go on in here, because it separates close friends, and that's not God's plan. All right? Got that? Sorry to come on strong, but it's necessary sometimes that these things are said. So, after all that, it's your turn. And what you're going to do now is you're going to get into groups of no more than four, maximum five. The good people in the 2 and 6 penny seats there in the row are going to... Yeah, thank you very much. Are going to have to turn round into small groups. Those of you who had the sense to sit on the tables are already halfway there. And what I want you to do for about a quarter of an hour is to try and answer two questions which Ben is going to put on the screen. And I actually want you to think about maybe what this week holds for you. And to think about what being a friend of Jesus, like I've talked about, a friend of God, what actual difference? Because there's no point in me standing up here talking and you going, oh, yeah. And if it doesn't actually make any difference. So I want you to think about how being a friend of Jesus will actually affect what some of the things you might do this week. So, you know, let's be honest and real about what your diary is this week and think about it. And then how will we actively seek to be a good friend, a biblical-style friend, as the Proverbs has told us? How will we actively seek to be that this week?